Someday, who the fuck cares? This is Doogies and Tint Plus for the week of August 6, 2011, in the year of our Lord Adam Burns, or something like that. I'm sure I would get yelled at for doing that. My name is Daniel Brewer. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. It doesn't really matter because the music is clipping on me. But
you are really loud.
No, and I don't want to bitch about it because I've just been bitched at. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. Anyway, welcome to Doobies and Tint Plus. I am Daniel Brewer. I'm glad you've joined us today. Yada, yada, yada. And joining me from Arkansas, where shopping is a pleasure, it's Adam Burns.
Are you in a foul mood or something now?
I am in a foul mood. It is 25 minutes past the time that we were supposed to record. And all I have heard now is just whining and bitching for the past 25 minutes. Yeah, your thing clipped, or oh, your nose whistles, or oh, you masturbated while we were recording. You know, these are just little things that you put up with.
I was not bitching. I was simply pointing something out. That's all I was doing. I was just saying, like I put it on Google Plus the other day. I was like, I don't know what I said. Daniel's nose whistles. I don't know. I said something
really?
On Google
so
Plus
you're,
the
now,
other
now
day.
You're just airing my dirty laundry out for the entire world to see.
Yes, I'm. It's not your dirty laundry.
Whatever. Now just, everyone knows that my nose whistles.
Well, if they've ever listened to any of your podcasts before, they might have heard your nose whistle.
So then what you're saying is that this was something that you knew when you asked me to co-host this. So shut the fuck up, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, I. You know what? I guess you must just do really, really good editing because you send me stuff. And, I'm sitting here thinking whatever comes from Daniel is going to be like manna from heaven, like honey flowing from a honey pot or whatever you want to call it. And I get it. And you've got like turbo engines going on in the background.
You know what? I live in the South. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it's been like 150 degrees down here lately, and I live upstairs, which means all the hot air comes up here. So yeah, there's an air conditioner here in this room that, you know, there's nothing that I can do about. In another month, that won't be there, because in another month, it will be back down to reasonable temperatures, and my air conditioner won't be cutting off. But that's all right. No, just to placate you, I am sitting here in the sauna this evening.
And you're naked.
With no air conditioning. You know what? You don't need to tell people I'm naked. It's just you and me that can see that.
It's an audio podcast. And then, not only all of that, but you, not only are you grumpy, but you're having technical issues, and you're like, I can only hear you in one ear. Hello.
I can only hear you,
and all
but not has now been solved.
So I don't know what's going on. You're just having, you seem to have a lot of technical issues here lately. I don't know.
Whatever. Are you trying to like segue into stuff off the list?
Oh my God. Why do you have to call me out on it?
Because you called me out of my nose whistle.
I'm trying to like be smooth. We're supposed to have a smooth.
All right,
smooth.
Fine. All right. So I think it is well known that I watch Twit. This Week in Tech was the original show. Now it is the entire Twit network of technological podcast type shows.
I watch all of them as well.
You watch all of them as well. And recently they just moved to a new $1.2 million studio down the street from where they were at.
Is it wrong that I was excited about that? I mean, does that make me like, I don't know, somehow sad?
No, I sat and watched them do their move and their switch over to the live thing. I sat there and watched it.
But no, I'm not kidding. I watched the drop cam like every day at my desk at work. I was counting down the days. I am a sad individual. I don't know. I was like drooling.
Anyway. I was counting down the days, but I was not watching the drop cam. There's a few shows on the network that I really enjoy listening to. And then there's several shows on the network that I don't really care for at all. And really that just comes from the fact that it is journalist heavy. So it's all a bunch of tech journalists, which I have long held that, you know, I could write a computer program that could be the next great tech journalist. All I have to do is just throw in a bunch of random words and basically just sprinkle it with some product names, because they never know what the hell they're talking about. It's like, well, as if somehow magically a journalism degree gives them any kind of credibility in the world of tech. But for whatever reason, I guess just because that's who runs Twit, it tends to be a lot of tech journalists, and they're very, very light on like computer programmers or hardware people that are, you know, actual technical people.
Well, now you and I have discussed this before, and they do that on purpose because they think it's more, or at least Leo thinks it's more appealing to not have as many technical shows, to have more just chatty sort of things.
But I think there could be a line. I mean, there are plenty of tech professionals out there, you know, myself included, not that I'm saying that I, you know, should be on their network, but there are people like me out there who are computer programmers who have a vast amount of technical background that are quite good at public speaking and are quite good at doing roundtable type stuff. But we have a background of knowledge that we bring with us that these journalists just don't. So that's just me, and I'll shut up now. But I won't shut up now, because here's the thing. This was the point that I was trying to make originally before you drug me off on this this path, is when they did their big launch, right? They switched over from their old studios to their new studios, and they had done no testing. So they had done no streaming out of the new studio whatsoever. They just went balls to the wall there and decided, you know what, we're just going to shut the old one down. We're going to turn the new one on, and everything will magically work.
Evidently, that's part of the charm of their network.
No, that's how they're trying to spin it now. That's part of the charm. Here's my problem with that is, aside from all the tech journalists who are the hosts of their shows, they do actually have quite an impressive fleet of actual technical people behind the scenes that have put the stuff together and built their studio. And so now I'm just really freaking paranoid about Las Vegas, because I'm looking at this like, we're going to get one shot at this. I mean, basically one shot at this, of going into this hotel room and somehow being able to stream out live shows from there.
And it's all on you. No pressure, no stress. You know, I'm not trying to like make you feel any more nervous than you already are, but it's you, buddy.
It is.
I'm just telling you right now.
It is me. And it's there's so many unknown quantities going into this. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's a relatively simple thing, right? I've got the Mac Mini loaded with NiceCast, so it's a very small, tiny computer that's going to handle this, and it handles the streaming that I do anyway. So that I'm confident that will work and that'll be fine. But I don't know about the quality of service of the bandwidth. We still are in discussions with them about guaranteeing us bandwidth. And I'm paranoid that we're going to get there and the mixers aren't going to travel well, or some cables are going to go bad or whatever, and we're going to have all these weird issues. And I don't know if you remember the chat room, but the chat room is oftentimes quite difficult and
yes,
quite unforgiving of things that are going on.
That's why a lot of times I don't even look at the chat room. I just, you know, kind of do the show and whatever. And I know you're supposed to be all like lovey-lovey and, hey, we love the chat room and everything. But I'm like I really care about what other people think. Let's just put it that way.
Well,
and if you look over there and they're like, this sucks, you know, yeah, or, you know, the stream is down or whatever. Right. And you're trying to like concentrate. It's just, yes.
So I don't know exactly what we're going to do. And you know, if anyone has any great suggestions, the best that I've come up with now is I know that it will work locally. So I know that regardless of whether it makes it to the stream or not, if something happens with the bandwidth and we can't maintain a connection out of there, or it's choppy or whatever, we will have a pristine recording of it locally that we can then...
Well, no, this is what we do. We get video.
There can't be any video.
No, that was back to Twit. They've been having the whole problem with video. Sorry. That was just... right over everybody's head probably.
Yes.
But no, so we get another machine to stream, right? And we put it at someone's house that has good bandwidth. Then we use some sort of connection, Skype or from us to them.
But that's the problem. But that's what I'm saying, Adam. There's no difference. There's no difference between us sending our bandwidth to another person and us sending our bandwidth to the server.
I got it.
What?
Hook the mixer into your cell phone via one of those stereo cables.
Yes.
And then call the Skype number on the other person's computer that's going to actually do the streaming. And every show will be over a telephone line, a cell phone.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, it would work.
It might work. And maybe we could rig up something like that as a backup. I don't know. My current thinking is that, you know, like I said, we can record locally. So worst case scenario, we don't stream our block of time from Pride 48 just ends up being music that's already on the server. And then we take those files and we upload them later, and then they can hear them after the fact, like, a you know. So I don't know.
I think you're being overly pessimistic. I mean, I think it's a good idea to sit down and come up with backup scenarios. I think that's a really good idea. But it's only audio. And what is the likelihood that we won't even be able to... I mean, if we have to even drop the quality of the audio a little bit or whatever...
We can't do that.
I mean, what do we stream at?
We have been streaming at 96K mono.
I mean, can't you go lower than that?
We could, but it would screw up the stream. You can't mix bandwidths between shows. So, like, if one show, that's why we make everyone at the same bandwidth, because if you, like, let's say that we were to drop it down to, like, 64K mono. Well, if we lost the stream, the music that's playing on the server when we're not there is at 96K mono. So, so it gives all kind of weird, not all the players adjust to it well, and they can't. So then we're back to the problems that we had during year one, where people couldn't pick up the shows. You know, they had to keep refreshing the stream in order to get the next show that was coming and blah, blah, blah. We solved that issue last year by having the music in the server. So, you know, as far as that goes, we have to be at the correct bandwidth. So,
well, I mean, but I mean, they do have internet there. I mean, it's a large hotel.
Oh yeah,
so,
no.
It's
not that, you know, we're going to have to do some stuff that people aren't going to like. We're going to have to, you know, nobody in the audience is going to be able to get on the chat room. Because I'm sorry, all of the bandwidth needs to go to the stream. So,
right. You
know, I'm not good. If you have a cell phone and you want to do the chat room over 3G or, you know, tether it to your laptop over 3G and everything, you know, that's great. That's fine. That doesn't affect us. But as far as the bandwidth in the room goes, it has to go to whatever. And I don't know. We still have to talk to their people.
Well, there are other. I mean, you can get a one of those 3G cellular cards. In fact, I think they have 4G in Las Vegas, if I recall.
They do.
You could get a 4G modem for your laptop or something and do that as well.
We could try that. The problem there is it's not, you know, it's the same problem as the hotel. It's a shared bandwidth thing. So if you get a bunch of people clogging up the 4G, you don't have a guaranteed bandwidth. And that's streaming. I mean, that's the problem with streaming. It doesn't really matter how much bandwidth you have. It's a matter of whether you have constant bandwidth or not, because that's what kills you. What we're streaming at 96K is very low, right? I mean, I can listen to it on my mobile phone. So I can, that's why we chose that bandwidth, because it can be listened to on a cell phone. So it's a very low amount of bandwidth, but the problem with it is that, you know, if people don't run QoS servers or whatever, or QoS routers that don't regulate the amount of bandwidth available to everyone, then it's a crapshoot as to whether someone in a hotel room next to you is going to start downloading porn and, you know.
Actually, it's going to be all the Grindr and like Manhunt connections that are going on in that hotel.
Well, happen over 3G, so those don't affect us.
But. Well, you know, I mean, I had a thought and I lost it. It just went woo out of my head.
Oof, you know what? That's called getting older.
I think it was on the tip of my brain and it just went, it just flew out of my head. I have no idea what I was going to say.
Wow, good. All right.
Well, I think, back to my other point though, I'm glad that you are concerned because I think, you know, we really want it to turn out great and that's all fine and good, but I don't think you should like worry because it's either going to work or it's not. We should have a backup or a couple of contingency plans and then just kind of do it, you know? I mean...
All right. So what are these backup... That's what I guess I'm asking for. What are the backup plans?
Well, like I said, we could look into a 4G card for laptop or desktop, whatever you're streaming out of. You know, that's an option. I hear that's very fast. I mean, obviously, it's Pride weekend, so there are going to be a lot of people there using 4G and 3G.
Right. I mean, I already have that, right? I have an Android phone with 4G that I can tether to a machine. I already have that. So
that's an option. So I guess we just have to probably, are you coming on Friday or Thursday?
No, I'm getting in Thursday.
So we just need to test a couple of different options Thursday and see what's working and then just kind of go with that. And then if we have to change midstream, we just have to change midstream. People may have to drop and reconnect or something. But I mean, we're trying this for the first time. We're, you know, we've done it locally two times now. Is that right?
Yeah, this is our third year.
And so third year, we're traveling now. You know, we just kind of have to throw caution to the wind.
Well, I would just like to point out that this only affects the Vegas blocks because there will still be the majority of stuff on Pride 48 this year will not be out of Vegas. The majority of stuff on Pride 48, as in the years past, will be people from their own home. So, you know, it's just going to be those Vegas blocks that have me concerned.
And again, I mean, if it just turned out that we couldn't stream from Vegas, like you said, we could record the stuff that's going on from Vegas, and then you could throw that in the stream at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and yeah.
People
yeah.
at home might not even know, you know. You don't well, have to say this was previously recorded or anything like
no,
that.
No, I mean, we will just keep going where we're at. But
you don't have to say, we're currently at the strip club while you're listening to this right. thinking we're live. You right. know, I'm getting a blowjob right now. I'm not really on microphone.
Well, that would, yeah. I don't know how to respond to that. Okay, so enough about that. Then go on. What is your next?
I would like us to segue nicely, like well, it's a conversation.
Okay,
and you're just like, what is your next?
You know what? You know what, Adam? It's been really hot here lately.
Oh, how hot is it?
You know, it's so hot that you made me turn my air conditioner off. And
well,
so
my air conditioner's off too. Well, I've been having problems with my air conditioning. And I don't know. I don't think I'm unreasonable. I expect that if I'm paying over $1,000 for an apartment every month in Arkansas, which should be fairly cheap anyway, in fact, probably close to the same amount I was paying in Dallas, that I should be comfortable in my own apartment.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I feel that way. So they've already come out and looked at my air conditioner a couple of times, and it was working. They had to do something, and then it was working fine for the past couple of months. And all of a sudden, this like Thursday, Friday, it started getting warmer and warmer and warmer in here. No matter how low I would turn the temperature, it would get warmer.
Right.
So I went and talked to them on Saturday, and they said they would send somebody out. Well, they sent somebody out. Well, Sunday night, it was so bad that I think it was like 105 at like 9 o'clock at night or something. It was crazy. But it was 85 or 86 in here. Well, Katie, my dog, if anyone doesn't know, she has a heart condition. She is like laid out on the tile, her tongue like hanging out like a mile, like panting, about to die. I'm sweating. I can't, you know, concentrate on anything. I can't sleep. I finally had to go over to my parents to sleep. Well, I call them Monday morning and they said, okay, we'll send somebody out. Well, I come... And I just, so going backtracking, I just put a random message on Google Plus stating, should I stay home and sweat all night or should I go to my parents?
Yeah.
Well, our wonderful friend Wes, let me just see. I don't even know if I can pull up an old post. Let me see if I can, because I didn't prepare that.
Go to your profile. So click on your little profile thing and then that's just your stream. And then you can scroll down.
Oh, I found it. Okay. So I say, which is worse, sleeping in my 84-degree apartment with no AC or going over and sleeping at my parents'? And Wes comments, oh, just suck it up. I've never had air conditioning. Every summer is hot. Now, I just want to say, I mean, I don't know Wes all that well, but you always describe him as being an old spirit, so to speak.
Oh,
I can
just
imagine
just
him going
to get me in trouble.
I can just imagine him. Well, back in my day, we had to walk up the hill both ways with no air conditioning. We didn't have, you know, and I seem to remember, is he the one that's always talking about the humidity or something?
There was somebody that you used to. In the past, yes.
That would like have contests with people how humid it was where he lives or something like that. I don't know. Where does he live?
He lives in San Diego.
It's hot there, right?
It is hot there sometimes, yes.
Well, regardless, I mean, my comfort, if he wants to go without air conditioning, that's fine. You know, more power to him. If he wants to be a cheapskate and not pay for something like that.
Oh, no. See, let me just stop you there because you're digging yourself into a huge, huge hole.
Is he going to hate me?
You know what? I'm usually just more than happy to hand you the shovel. But in this case, you know, I know that Wes listens to this show. And it is now painfully obvious that you've never listened to Live It Up because we were just talking about some of these things on Live It Up and you would have known why he has no air conditioning and never mind.
It's on my list of things to do. I actually have downloaded the past couple of episodes. I just haven't had a chance to listen to them yet because work has been so busy. I haven't been able to listen to anything.
Well, maybe you should have listened to them while you were sweating.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, so I just thought, how dare he? How dare you, sir, accuse me of something? I think I deserve air conditioning. Oh, but I was going to read. So then I get home Monday and it's still 82 degrees in my apartment.
Yes.
And they supposedly have already come out and fixed my air conditioning. Okay, 82 degrees and they have fixed my air conditioning?
Yes.
So there is a letter on my door that, mind you, was on every door in the complex. And it says, I'll just read a little bit of it. Most air conditioning systems are designed to remove enough moisture, humidity, and heat from a room to make it comfortable. This indoor room temperature should average about 20 degrees below the outdoor ambient temperature. The number is based on many factors, including blah, 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 blah. What does this mean? If the outdoor temperature is at 100 degrees, the indoor temperature will most likely be 75 to 80 degrees. There is no way around a hot summer, and lowering the thermostat will not help make it any colder. And it just goes on to say apartment ACs are not capable of cooling when it's as hot as it is outside. And you know what? I say bullshit. I lived in Dallas for 8 years and I never had this problem. It's like 125 million degrees in Dallas during the summer. And I always had it 70, 69 or 70 degrees in my apartment. And I have lived in some old apartments. This apartment is only like 3 years old. Suck it.
You know what? They just have an underpowered air conditioner in there. That's all.
Yeah, the air conditioners outside, they look like about the size of a shoebox.
I have never lived in an apartment where I didn't have problems with an air conditioner. Actually, this is the first time we have not yet had an air conditioner problem here. But even at the mall where we were last, they had wired them up wrong so that our blower was actually was wired to the apartment above us thermostat, and their blower was connected to ours. So it was... And they didn't figure this out for like 6 months. And then every time that the seasons would change, the air conditioner would freeze over and wouldn't work. And it's just one of those, you know what I have found though? Because I keep calling them out to fix these things and blah, blah, blah. I have found that it's just better to push the thermostat down as low as it will possibly go. Like as low as it will possibly go. Then go into your kitchen, open up the oven, turn it on like 400 degrees and leave the door open on it. Do whatever you fucking can to make the air conditioner explode, because that's the only way they're going to replace it or fix it. Because otherwise they're just going to put duct tape on it. It's like, unless you go out there, go out to the compressor. Now you need to wear a pair of rubber gloves when you do this, but go out to the compressor with a fork. And you want to just kind of wedge that fork in right where the power contacts come into it so that you're bridging the power contacts there. Do whatever you can to literally make that fucker explode, because that's the only way you're going to get your air conditioning problem.
Well, I called back today and I'm like, this is unacceptable. And I do not appreciate the letter that you guys left on my door, because I moved here from Dallas and it is fucking hot in Dallas. And I know that an air conditioner should be able to work. And my dog has health problems and I am not paying the amount of money that I pay to go sleep at my parents' house. I'm yes. like, so you need to get somebody to do something about it. And she's like, well, and because I called a friend of mine that lives in the complex yesterday when I got home. And I'm like, what temperature is it in your apartment? And he's like, 70, something like that.
See?
And I told her, I'm like, I called someone who lives in the same complex. You know what she said? Well, what floor is he on?
Right.
And I'm like, well, he's on the second floor. And she's like, well, you're on the third floor. I'm like, I don't care what floor I'm on. I pay rent here too. My dog is not going to die of heat exhaustion because you guys can't. Anyway, I'm glad. And tonight, luckily, when I got in, they must have thrown some ice cubes in it or something, because it actually was cool.
Right, because that is the principle. That is exactly how air conditioners work. They put ice cubes in it, and there's a little fan that blows right over the top of them.
Well, I don't know what they did, but it's working better now. So I just hope I can get through this next month of it being 150 degrees. And
when does summer end? I always forget this. It always seems to me like September should be the time that it ends.
Well, in Dallas, one of the hottest months of the year is like September. So here though, we're further north, and I'm like 6 hours north of Dallas, and it gets cold here. You know, maybe September, October-ish, it starts to get cold, and it snows two or three times a year here. So I'm hoping
September
will start to cool down.
You figure the official start of summer is June 21st. Right. And so each season is 3 months long. So that would take you up to, you know, September 21st would be the last day of summer, the first day of fall. But you would think that, okay, fine, I will accept that we are now pretty much in the smack middle of that, right? That we're the first week of August, we're right in the middle of the summer. So this should be the hottest. But it seems like from this point on, it should start getting cooler. But well, and that's not always how it works.
It's not that I mean, yes, I don't enjoy it being this hot, but it's not that, you know, I'm so miserable that it's so hot outside. It's that I'm miserable because when it's this hot outside, I go indoors to not be hot.
You do realize that we're basically just two old ladies talking about the weather.
I understand. And so this is why I'm glad I'm going to be traveling. Well,
I was going to say that that is a lot of the reason, because I'm leaving tomorrow. We're recording early this week, but I am leaving tomorrow to drive down to Florida, and I'm actually going to leave here at about 7 o'clock in the evening, because that means it's a 9-hour drive, so I will get in, you know, around 5 a.m. the next morning. But it's just so much nicer to drive at night in the middle of the summer than it is to drive in the daytime, because no matter how hard my little Scion tries to cool the air, when it's 110 outside, it just, it can't keep up.
Well, my AC is completely broken in my car.
Oh my God.
And driving, and it has been for the past 3 years. And every time I save up enough money to get it fixed, I say, ooh, there's a toy I don't have. And then I'm like,
yeah, where is your toy? Where is your little voice changing toy this week?
Well, I've got it.
I don't see it set up there. It could be cool air.
No, it's right down here. You just can't see it.
No, okay.
But no, so yeah, so I have no AC. But if I drive somewhere like Dallas, like I drove to Dallas in March or whatever, and coming back, I have to leave the windows rolled down or the top down the whole way. And so I sit my arm on the window sill, and I have a sunburn on that arm when I get back. I mean, that one arm was like peeling.
I'm driving down to Florida for my dad's thing. So I'm driving overnight to get there.
His thing.
Well, he's having his bladder removed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You mentioned that. Okay, sorry. I, when you said his thing, yeah. I was like thinking his birthday.
No.
Wood carving convention.
Yeah. I talked about this over on Live It Up. But regardless, so I'm going down there. But this is how screwed up my family is, right? Because my family is basically an entire, you know, everyone in my family is either married to a doctor or is a doctor. Except for me. But the conversations around the dinner table are just always about people being sick and, you know, somebody dying and whatever. So we have a very laissez-faire attitude towards death. And we often make very morbid jokes around my family's dinner table. So today, my sister was talking to me because she wanted to do a family dinner when Robert comes down the following weekend. And so she was trying to coordinate that with me. And I was like, well, yeah, he'll get in there Friday and we can do that. Well, she's like, well, then Dad will be released from the hospital that Friday, hopefully. And so then he'll be there. And I was like, either that or he'll be dead by then, in which case, you know, it'll be awake and all those old ladies can cook food for us and bring it over to the house. Because, you know, those old ladies that have been patients of his for years, whatever, they cook really well. And so,
well, and you know what? They live for that sort of shit.
I know.
I mean, they're waiting for the next person to keel over so they can bake that casserole they've been waiting to bake.
Exactly. So that got me thinking about the last family funeral that we had, which was my grandparents on my mother's side. Now, they lived in a small town in Mississippi called Amory, Mississippi, and the one and only funeral home in Amory, Mississippi is the E.E. Pickle Funeral Home. So E.E. Pickle, who happens to be the guy's name, which he's E.E. Pickle the Fourth, by the way.
I was going
to
ask, do they pickle the bodies? Is that no, why they call it that?
So here's the thing. E.E. Pickle the Fourth was the funeral director at my grandparents' funeral. And he's like this really lanky, kind of goofy looking guy. And every time he would talk to someone, he would stand up on his toes a little bit. So, and he would kind of lean into them. So he would, you know, he'd come over and he was like, oh, Mrs. Holloway, we're gonna move the body now. It was just like this really weird kind of, it's a very visual
I don't know
thing.
Why I'm getting this picture of like one of the freaky people like on Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm getting that
exactly,
picture, but they go
exactly
in and there's
like
that creepy tall guy, you know, that they always, yeah.
So then we go to the E.E. Pickle funeral home twice now. And as we head out to the gravesite, I'm in a minivan with my sister and my brother and blah, blah, blah. We're heading up there. And so on the first funeral, because the second funeral, it was no longer a shock. But on the first funeral, we see, and all the chairs are set up around the gravesite, and they have crushed green velvet throws over them that say E.E. Pickle on the back. And my sister screams out, she says, oh my God, they look like pickles. And so we basically were just laughing during the whole like burial thing. that the pickle thing. So my whole point of it here is I was, when my sister was and I were joking about the wake and all the ladies cooking and everything, I was wondering if we should contact E.E. Pickle, who's, you know, not even in Florida, but, you know, just as tradition, maybe have him come down and handle the funeral. Just to, you know.
What are you going to say? We need somebody creepy to perform
exactly.
this.
So I did. I found him on the web. You know, the E.E. Pickle Funeral Home has a website, which I think is just great. So they have obituaries right on the front page.
Nice.
Yeah,
well,
so
you got to have some content.
Right. And unfortunately, it does not have a picture of E.E. himself. Currently, the person running it is Robert G. Pickle.
I think that's an unfortunate last name.
Well,
I don't know
why. They
I
seem just... to have turned it into quite an industry here. But yeah, so if you're curious, you can go to eepicklefuneralhome.com.
What's their slogan? You kill them, we pickle them?
No.
I mean, I don't know.
No, their slogan actually is our family serving your family. So see, they've even managed to work serving into it there with the pickles.
Would you like kosher or sweet?
I wonder if they handle, you know what, if we didn't record at midnight here, we could call them and ask them these questions.
Right. Well, I mean, what's their recipe? Do they use the little packets that you get at Walmart or something for pickling, or do they have their own special recipe?
You know, Nessa from Hello Nessa was talking about pickling things the other day.
She was.
On Google Plus. We should maybe we should call them. We should record sometime when it's not in the middle of the night so that we can call these people. Because I would love to call the E.E. Pickle Funeral Home and find out what they use.
Well, we can put that on the agenda.
We'll put it on the agenda.
On the agenda.
On the agenda.
Excellent.
Right. All right. Oh, so Lord. What is the... So you're going on a trip as well, which is why we're recording so early this week, right?
Yeah. I'm just running around trying to get everything. I don't know why it is that every time I have to go on a trip, there's so much to do. Like, I am always the last minute. I see you're holding up your list. I see
I
it.
Have a list.
There is,
yeah.
I am, and it's not, and yes, I am a procrastinator, I will admit, but it's not that. It seems like the moment a trip gets planned, as you get up closer to the trip, things happen. The dog has fleas. We've been trying to get rid of them for 2 months. We can't get rid of them. Mom says,
"Wait, you're trying to get rid of the dog or the fleas?"
The fleas.
Oh, okay.
And mom says, "Oh, you have to give her a bath again before you leave. We have to find somebody to keep her because she's got a heart condition, and we can't just put her in a kennel. We got to do all this." And then we were going to leave on Thursday, and I took off Thursday and Friday. I'm going to Atlanta to plan a wedding for my cousin, and that's another thing. Family members should not have weddings like 10-hour drives away from you and then ask you to do things in their wedding when, I mean, it's really inconvenient. But anyway, so you know, I've got that to do. I've got a million things going on at work. I had to take my tux to the cleaners. Well, they couldn't have it ready until tomorrow, so I've got to, like, take time off work. I've got to leave work early. I've got to do all this stuff. I've got to bomb my apartment again because I'm trying to get rid of these damn fleas. All this stuff. It's like, I want to pull my hair out. I had to work out tonight because I'm not going to be able to do it tomorrow. I'm literally like timing myself. Okay, I'm going to leave work at 5. I'm going to run over to my mom's house. I'm going to bathe the dog. But I got to run to Walmart first to get the stuff to bathe the dog. And then I got to do this and that. And then I got to have that done by 8. Then I'm going to go to the gym. And I got to be done at the gym by 10 o'clock so that I can come back and get ready to record at 11. And then after 11, I got to finish the laundry and pack. And I'm like, ah, this is just the way I am every time I travel. And so I'm just like, oh, my God, too much to do. That was it, though. I mean, it's just, I get really frantic when I have to travel. I like to travel, but I just don't understand why things get progressively busier all the way up until the time that I leave.
Well, yeah, I have to not only travel, I have to load up my entire office. So I have to load up all my computers and books and everything because I will be down there for about 2 weeks. So I will be continuing.
Well, I was
going to
ask you, you didn't mention that we were going to miss any time recording. Are you planning on recording from there? Or?
Yes, there may be a drop in sound quality. Because I doubt that I'm going to take my mixer. I will have, you know, a headset, and I will be able to record from down there.
As long as you promise to have the AC running and whistle through your nose a few times, I think everybody will be great.
Well,
it'll just be like old home week.
Whatever.
Shit.
Yeah, after making fun of me about my sound and everything, No, don't edit. Leave this in. Because see, then people think that you don't make mistakes when clearly you have made a huge...
That stupid ass... That stupid ass volume knob. Oh, I hate it. So birthdays this week, we had, I'm going to do weeks worth of birthdays. So first we have on the list who is going to be, oh, this one is alive, by the way. She's going to be 46. It is JK, is it Rowling or Rowling?
JK Rowling, yes.
So she's going to be 46. And then we have Tempest Bledsoe from Vanessa from The Cosby Show.
Oh, that's right. I recognize the name. Okay, yes.
38. Carol O'Connor is actually dead, but he would have been 87, and he's from All in the Family. Martha Stewart is turning 70.
Do you know what character he played in All in the Family? Because you're too young to know that show.
Oh, he was the dad, but I can't remember his name.
Correct. Yeah, his name was Al Bundy.
No, wrong show.
His name was Archie Bunker. Anyway, go ahead.
And then we have a very special birthday this week.
Yes.
This week is our president, Barack Obama's 50th birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
And that's Maureen, it?
Well, no, I've got two more.
Oh, okay.
Maureen McCormick.
Wait, don't tell me. Maureen McCormick was Marsha.
Yes, from the Brady Bunch. Yes. She's turning 55.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And then, last but not least, she's dead.
That is
the sound's running out soon.
I don't know.
Lucille Ball.
Oh,
would have been 100 this week.
Really?
Were she not dead?
Now you know. There is a podcaster that has a birthday soon. I don't know exactly when because he canceled his Facebook account.
Oh, who's that? I have a website I go to for famous people. Podcasters don't normally count in that category. So.
Well, there you go. You can just ingratiate yourself even more to Wes Stone because I believe it is Wes Stone's birthday coming up.
Oh, shit.
Very soon.
Why are you? He's going to hate me. Is he coming to Vegas? He's going to punch me in the nose.
He is coming to Vegas, which I,
Wes,
by the
I
way,
love you, but you really pissed me off talking about my AC.
There is going to be an all out cat fight between Adam and Wes in Vegas.
I love Wes. Wes is great if he doesn't talk about my AC.
I'm buying his plane ticket this week. I was waiting for a paycheck to arrive, which it just did. So as soon as that clears, I will be buying his plane ticket to Vegas.
Why aren't you buying my plane ticket?
Because you didn't have all kind of car troubles and financial problems where you just weren't going to come to Vegas unless...
No, I'm telling people you are not freaking rooming with me.
That's right.
I am having my own room. One. I don't care if I have to pay $1,000. Anyway, right. Police say there was
Hold on just a second.
What?
We're not done with the birthdays yet. So
oh, I'm sorry.
My point is, I just wanted to say this before you go off into your little news stories here. Nessa from Hello Nessa just also kicked in some money to help with Wes's ticket. So it's not just me. There, other people are helping get Wes's ticket.
Well, I hope he doesn't mind you announcing that people are paying for his ticket on our international world class
no,
show.
No, because he stopped listening about 10 minutes ago when you made it painfully clear that you don't listen to Live It Up. Okay,
I am
now
going
here's the
to.
Transitional sound so that you can go into your news stories.
Police say there was more on the menu than coffee and donuts during the late shift at a Dunkin' Donuts in northern New Jersey.
All right, how would they know?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
They're cops. They don't know anything about anything other than donuts and coffee.
I'm sure they visited there a few times. Melissa Redmond, 29, they always put people's ages and where they're from and crap. Anyway, she faces prostitution charges after police say she took breaks to provide sex in exchange for money.
Right.
Rockaway Township Police launched an investigation known as Extra Sugar after getting an anonymous tip about the worker's activities. The detective who led the investigation said she was a nighttime employee working nine to five, supposedly a very good one. He said Redman would go out to cars and would spend 10 to 15 minutes in the vehicles, said the guy who conducted the surveillance. He says Redman was arrested after soliciting sex from an undercover officer who was just going in there to get a donut.
I was going to say, how stupid do you have to be to try to run a prostitution ring out of a donut shop? I mean, that's like trying to run some kind of like counterfeit ring out of like the local bank. It's just, for God's sakes, if you're going to run your prostitution ring, run it some, you know, like out of a gym or out of
Somewhere, you know, where police will never be found.
The library.
A medical marijuana shop's offer of free pot in exchange for registering to vote appears to have gone up in smoke. I love the way they write these stories. You know, it's like we have to have these nice little whatever you call them.
Yep, they're called SEO. They're SEO optimized now, so everything has to be sensational, so that when you're browsing through the 600 news stories, you see the headline and go, "Oh, that sounds sensational. I will look at that."
Well, I just mean how they say a marijuana shop's offer goes up in smoke. Oh, how cute. How clever of you. Your healthy choice clinic of Lansing, Michigan had been offering a half gram on its website ahead of a vote for city council seats, and after the council approved capping the number of medical marijuana dispensaries within city limits and setting a $1,000 application fee. So anyway, they were giving away free pot to go register to vote.
I don't know anything about pot because, as you are well aware, I don't believe that pot actually exists. So the how much is a half gram? Because that sounds like an incredibly small amount.
It's a half gram. I don't know. But I mean, I don't have a scale here.
All right, but I'm just saying, like, is that a joint? Does a gram? How? What is the measurement of pot in a joint? Like,
well, here is a perfect time, listeners. If you smoke pot, I would like you to call in and actually, you know, you can smoke pot while you call in, you know, just what the hell? I mean, right. You know, just make up a name. It doesn't matter.
Right. We are not a donut shop.
Call 2x2 DI Plus.
Yes.
Leave a voicemail and tell us how much a gram of pot is and whether it would be worth it to register to vote to receive a gram
right.
of pot.
Oh, yeah. And when I say how much a gram of pot is, relate it to something that we can identify. So, like, I mean, you know, like a gram would make 4 cigarettes, or a gram would make 2 cigarettes, or just how many marijuana cigarettes. Now I sound like one of those educational films from the 50s. Bobby smoked a marijuana cigarette. How many joints can you make from a gram of pot? That's the question of the week.
And let us know, like, how much that would cost if you actually had to buy it, and relate that to, like, how many 15 to 20 minute breaks the girl at the donut shop would have had to take to get that gram of marijuana.
That's right. This week's question of the week, math.
All right. Oh, I don't have my document up. What are we going to now?
We have emails and we have voicemails.
That's right, we do. And actually, I did you look at the document? Because you're reading the first email.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. That's awesome.
Did you? I guess you didn't know that. You got an email from this person. We both got an email from this person.
Yeah,
so
but
I,
did
you
he
were
say the
that.
Same thing to us both?
Yeah, both of us were on there.
Whatever. You know what? We're doing the email and voicemails thing, so I think we should, you know, properly start it.
See what's in the old mailbag here at Dubious Intent Plus.
I got nothing. Yes, Casey from Denver writes in. Hey, boys.
Yes.
Number one. So when my nipples are sore, usually someone else is doing, my dick gets hard. And that is no hoax. So I guess that this is in response to your nipples being hard while you were working out.
I think all emails from now on from listeners should start out, so when my nipples are sore,
my dick gets hard. And that's no, you know,
or whatever. It could be a woman, you know, she might not have one.
I've seen Casey's dick. It's very pretty. I mean, not in person.
Wasn't there?
Not in person. I mean, I saw it in a picture.
I think I've seen it as well.
You know, he's going to be in Vegas.
That's what he said in his
right.
email. Were you going to read more of it, or was that?
No, I'm
going
to get to that.
I
like to stretch these things out.
You like
Adam.
To marinate
it's part
in the emails.
Of my charm.
Okay.
No, so you know he's going to be there in Vegas. So when we do our live bit from Vegas, when we do the Dubious Intent piece there, maybe we can get him to show everyone.
his dick or his nipples hard.
You can get his nipples sore, and then he can show everyone that his, anyway, it'll be, you know, an experiment. Anyway, number two, I must be getting old because I'm a little afraid of Google Plus. Isn't that how old people feel about technology?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if being old has any, because, well, actually it does. Or is he on the Facebook?
Because
the old people are on the Facebook. You see, the Google Plus is the more hip, younger thing.
That's right.
And that and the Twitter. Have you heard that, by the way?
Heard what? That the young people are on the clip, Twitter?
No, the clip of Governor Rick Perry saying you can follow me on the...
On the Twitter?
Have you not heard? Wait. I have to play this. Let me see if it works, but here we go.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
You should probably turn your volume up.
Did you not hear it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, hell. That would have been really funny had my...
Oh, that's all right. As long as they heard it, that's great.
I don't know if they heard it or not.
That was hilarious, Adam. Thank you.
Oh, screw it. Anyway, go right ahead. I'll play it next episode.
Yes, and there was a whole discussion over on Live It Up about old people and technology, which you can hear at liveitupthepodcast.com. Let's see. Number three, I also get too hot to cuddle. That's why we have a king bed.
Yeah, I mean, one leg over another leg, that's all I can do. I'm just telling the people that are applying to be my next boyfriend, just keep that in mind.
What if the guy that played Iceman from the X-Men, Bobby, what if you were to date the frozen Bobby? Because then that would negate the furnace.
Well, if it was someone that was, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I didn't get hot, then I might consider cuddling. But I just have a problem being in that close proximity to someone for long periods of time. Okay. I get kind of claustrophobic. I like to move.
All right. Love the show. Listen to DI number one and the Adam and Maddie show as well as around 30 others each week. See you in Vegas, KC in Denver, the number two fan of the BFO for 2011.
Well, thank you for writing us, Casey. I remember him.
Yes, actually, you know what? When I was trying to listen to the third episode of DI Plus, somehow on my iPod, it switched over to, because I have all the old Dubious Intents on my iPod as well. And so it started playing episode number two of Dubious Intent. And I was just like, wow, Adam must have dug this old clip up and included it on the show. And then I realized that, oh, no, I was just listening to the wrong one.
Did you get a little nostalgic and have a little tear in your eye? And,
I had totally forgotten that I had done that whole little bit about Google and time and stuff. It was actually kind of fun to listen to.
So this next email that we got, or that I got actually, may not have been supposed to be read on the show. I have to read it on the show, but I have to read it in a certain way. So give me one moment here.
So this email is from Joey. Cocktails and cream pies or cream puffs or whatever. And he emailed me directly, but I had to say this. He says, Adam, I'm so jealous. Uh-huh. I have wanted a voice processor forever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So that's it. That's right. All he said. He didn't say love the show.
Right. Well, you can't even get his show name right. And by the way, he'll be in Vegas as well. So I'm sure he can tell you about how he feels about you getting his show.
Oh, my gosh. I think his co-host is so hot.
You don't care for a show or anything. You just think his co-host is hot.
No, you know what? I actually, and again, I have not been listening to other than technology stuff that I can have on in the background, whatever, it doesn't matter. I haven't been listening. I've been a very bad LGBT podcaster lately.
Sure. Get to our voicemails.
I haven't been. But you're rushing me. I was going to say, I really think their show is funny, at least the last time I listened to it, like around episode four.
Right.
But I am going to start listening to all of them again. I swear, everyone's going to hate me. I'm just confessing to things on my... Okay, the first voicemail was from Scott... who goes by, wait, what does he go by?
Sater69.
So here we go.
Something called Twitter, which I don't know what that is.
Hi there. Is this working? Hi there, Daniel. Hi there, Adam. This is Scott, a.k.a. Sater69 of the Sater Sphere. I'm calling your show. It took me a long time to figure out the number. 2x2G plus, that hurt.
Why did
so,
it hurt?
I'm calling.
Yes.
Do I win something?
No.
Do I win something?
You don't win anything.
Last call failed. Is this one failing? What's going on? I just called to say hi.
Stop using an iPhone.
I like that Daniel is keeping himself busy with 12 different podcasts.
That is 13, sir.
And Adam. It's good talking to you on This Week in Gay. I enjoy it. Okay, well, that's it. I'm going to sign off now. I hope this call doesn't fail again. Bye-bye!
Yeah, stop using an iPhone.
He's very dramatic.
Yes, well, he's Seder 69 from the Seder Sphere.
He says he's an actor. So I guess that's why he's so dramatic. But yeah, so I've co-hosted twice on This Week in Gay.
Yes.
And Anthony from Ashanti No Lemon.
Yes.
Started it, and we cover news. And I am totally not a political person at all. And I have really had to try to pull shit out of my ass to say about political issues, because I really just, I'm sorry. It's not that I'm stupid, because I'm not stupid at all. I just am not political, like, at all. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I like to read funny news stories, because I don't want to get into politics. But, you know, I like being on shows, and they asked me to do it. They asked everybody, actually, and you could be on there, I'm sure. But anyway.
I cannot be on the show.
Why?
They record on a day that is really, really bad for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, but I'm saying they put out a shout out to all LGBT podcasters. And see, what I bring to the show, though, we had a story about uncircumcised penises, a ban on circumcising penises in San Francisco. I bring the funny sexual sluttiness. I have to read that story. So anyway.
Okay.
But our next one, I do not know the name of this part. It's a female.
Yes.
And it's either Cassie or Kathy. Can I ask you something really quick?
Sure.
Are you playing Tetris?
No.
There's something reflecting on your glasses that looks like Tetris.
It is the soundboard. It has multicolored buttons on it.
Okay.
Because honestly, if I was playing Tetris.
Yeah.
It would sound
like
that.
Are you playing Tetris?
No, I'm not playing Tetris.
I think you're playing Tetris.
I am not playing Tetris.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. See if you can tell me the name of this person anyway. So here we go.
Oh my gosh, this is Kathy Vacant, and this is my new favorite podcast. I love it so much. I've listened to episodes 1, 2, and 3 4 times each. So that's like 12 times. So it's almost like having 12 episodes.
Right.
Bye.
Is that Cassie?
That is Miss Kathy Bacon. I cannot believe that you don't know Kathy Bacon.
Oh, my
Bacon.
God. Is she on a podcast that
no,
I'm supposed to be listening to?
No, she's not on a podcast. She is a dedicated podcast listener. You don't know who she is, so now she'll never listen again.
I'm sorry. God, I've been away for like a year.
Miss Kathy Bacon is the creator of the Chevrolet Red commercial that we used to do over on... whatever that show was that I did.
What show did you do?
Dubious Intent. I'm back on the original Dubious Intent. Back when I went over to Charleston and I had Big Fatty and Laurie Dean and Mr. Larry Vader on the show when that 1 week when we went on the road, Miss Kathy called in with her and she had just gotten her brand new Chevrolet Red, which we then became an official sponsor of the show. She's a very famous, very important podcast listener.
Oh, well, I'm horrible. I mean, I'm really horrible with names to begin with, and I don't remember all the callers from every show, but I'm sure she is a fabulous person.
Miss Kathy Bacon, thank you so much for your voicemail, and I apologize from the bottom of my heart for my co-host's complete ignorance as to who you are.
I mean, how can I possibly remember everybody that listens? I mean, most of the people that listen are basically part of the vast silent majority.
Dubious Intent was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2DI+. That's 2x2DI+. Not that hard to do, unless your name is Seder. You can also send us an email. I'm DanielJBrewer@gmail.com. He's AdamBurns.UK@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website, which is hideous and ugly and deserves no
it
wasting of your time.
It is not hideous and ugly. The design is really good. We just need a logo on there. That's all. And anyway, I told you we should use the actual numbers for the voicemail. Obviously, people are not understanding 2x2DI+. I mean, look, Scott couldn't even figure it out.
He did.
Yeah, I guess so. I think we need to do something at the end of every show. I think I need to say, for Daniel, I'm Adam, and then you say...
I'm also Daniel.
For Daniel, Adam, I'm Daniel.
But I'm also
Bye.